You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes. As always, we are Vanessa and Gallant 10 to 12 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, nothing super new on the front with Deshaun Watson. We expect there to be a decision made, a ruling within the next 2 weeks before training camp starts. Briefs from both sides due today. This is drawing out longer than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we'd have a decision by now from federal judge Sue L. Robinson. But it appears that the NFLPA and NFL cannot come to an agreement, a settlement, etc., on what they want.
Correct. I really have no idea how long it's going to take, given how long it's taken to this point, too. There's no holiday weekend to bury this in, at least in the near future, right? Do you think they would wait all the way until Labor Day weekend, right before the start of the NFL season? I imagine also, too, if I'm the Browns, I want to know now. I don't know if you have a whole lot of leeway here to petition to the NFL and say, hey, I know we traded for somebody who's under investigation for 26 different civil suits of sexual misconduct. Oh, wait, 22 have been settled. My bad. But can we also, like, know when he's getting suspended by training camp so we know how much work we need to give Jacoby Brissett to get up to speed? I think that's something the Browns probably would like to know. We still have a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I think, until training camp start across the NFL. But yeah, I don't really know what would, Vanessa, potentially speed up the process here.
ESPN Cleveland host tweeted out that he's hearing from reliable sources that it will be 4 to 6 games. That's the real T. Rizzo, a.k.a. Tony Rizzo.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
I think he's still with ESPN Cleveland, or maybe he said it on ESPN Cleveland.
Regardless, if I remember correctly, he and Baker Mayfield had a very adversarial relationship.
Beefed, yes.
And now Rizzo probably looks like a king, given the way that relationship and his quarterback's play went down.
Reliable sources are interesting in this case, though, because unless the reliable source is Sue Robinson, does anybody really know?
Right, exactly.
Because a lot of folks have also said a year. We expect to know at some point before training camp. That's, of course, what all of the major media guys have said. But then again, this is an unprecedented situation. So NFLPA is pushing for no suspension.
Oh.
NFL is pushing for an indefinite suspension, I think, starting with a year where he would have to request a reinstatement to the league. So they're nowhere near deciding and settling on that. But time will tell, and I still have the Browns-Texans matchup schedule circled on my calendar.
I do, too. It would be pretty disappointing if he's not back for that game. Especially now that the Texans have their brand new red helmet!
The red monsters are in the house.
The battle red helmets.
So yeah. The Texans announced this. I'm not going to lie. The picture they posted is kind of sick. They announced their new battle red helmets they're going to wear for one training camp practice. That's scheduled for July 30th. And then their November 3rd game. This is the first shakeup in helmets for the Texans.
Can you imagine it right now? You're at NRG Stadium. You've had a couple of cold ones, preferably a Miller Lite. You see all of a sudden the tunnel, the bull's mouth, the smoke slowly rising from its nostrils. In the background, Clay Walker's Football Time in Houston slowly fades. It's Football Time in Houston. And the smoke billows out. And then all of a sudden, you see the Texans come in doing something that they've never done before. But they're adventurous, and they'll try new things. And they're coming out, and they're wearing these red helmets. This is how you change the perception of you as an organization. Here's a serious thought. Why not just go to the red helmet for all time now?
I was going to say, they look really sharp.
They don't look bad at all. And I'm of the mindset right now, why not have something, just anything, that makes you think a little bit differently about this team? And you know what? Red helmets, it's a start.
It is a start. It's something small. Now,
just go full-time with them. I know it's an alternate helmet. Why not go full-time?
Our Houston native, Sean Mapes, what are your thoughts on the red helmet?
The helmet itself, it's fine. Whatever. It's the same as the blue. This time it's red. Don't really care. It's the whole idea and the culture and the mantra around the Texans where they try to act like, well, we can never change our uniforms. We have a classic look. It's like, no, you don't. Your look is from 2002. That's that's how far back it goes. So the idea that they just never change anything, this isn't even a change. It's just changing the paint on the helmet that you already have. This, I mean, you still got the same logo. You're going to wear the same battle red uniform.
Battle red.
Battle red, I will say, was really cool. Until like 2006 or seven, we're like, wow, we're still doing this. This is the one game a year where we do something different.
Right.
Even that is, it's just so lame. It's just all so lame.
A continued thought on the Texans should just go to this full time. How many teams across the NFL, guess guys, off the top of your head, have navy blue helmets?
Navy blue?
Navy blue helmets, because the Texans have a navy blue helmet right now.
Well, the Titans are one.
The Titans is that, and that's their main one, right?
Yeah.
I'm
just gonna throw out there. Wait, navy blue, not just blue.
We can go with blue too.
Okay. I'll go 10.
I'll go 6.
Vanessa was close. 7. Titans, Seahawks, Texans, Giants, Rams, Bears. Technically, that is blue. It's very dark, and the Broncos. So that was 7, right? Guess how many teams have red helmets? Just Kansas City.
Just one, the Chiefs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Just Kansas City. Look, you want to stand out a little bit more, it's a way to do it. Just a thought. I know it's an alternate helmet. I think that the presentation that they put out there looks pretty good.
But they need presentation and they need brand right now.
Yeah, why not?
Because red helmets that'll are cool. Get them through the rebuild. According to Texans president Greg Grissom, quote, we're thrilled to debut our new Battle Red helmet as we continue to evolve as an organization. We've consistently shown we're not afraid to try new things. So we jumped at the chance to design an alternate helmet that will complement our uniforms. This reminds me of when girls get like a basic tattoo and they're like, trying new things.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I get a thing.
Yeah, it's like this, on their inner wrist.
Yes, this is like getting like some Bible verse tatted. Like yeah. the name of the Bible verse
or
tatted.
Faith.
Faith,
or
yes.
I hate to say it, I'm all for mental health, but like the semicolon that everybody got where they were like, this semicolon is a reminder that,
yeah.
Did you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I do.
Yeah. This is the nose stud of
NFL
helmets.
So I can
NFL
talk
helmets.
About being basic. My nose is pierced and my belly button. So I can talk about being basic because your girl has hopped on the train before.
I've seen some of those deep meaning tattoos. There is someone that I used to date who actually did have a deep meaning tattoo on her rib. And I remember asking her about it. And like, oh, what's this? Real bold here. She's like, oh, this is actually where a surfboard crashed into my chest and I almost died. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's...
That's way cooler.
That's pretty cool.
The whole idea of these deep meaning tattoos that you see on Pinterest or Instagram, they immediately lose all meaning when everyone has them.
Right, exactly.
I want to, you know, have you ever thought about this? Don't you want to just stumble into a parlor and like just say, you know what, I want that insert Chinese, Japanese character. And then just like find out later.
And have no meaning.
And watch it say like, sausage muncher or something weird like that. You know, I want it just to be something completely out of left field and be like, oh, well, unless somebody can look that up, they're
never
going to
know.
You know,
I hate to say it, but like Aaron Rodgers, who went to one of the best tattoo artists in the country, like his tattoo, although I'm sure it's some weird Zen meaning, actually looks really good. So with tattoos, like make it look quality.
Yeah, I'm with you right there.
Psalms 14:11 is on my tramp stamp tattoo, by the way. Just
oh.
kidding. Just kidding.
I want OG from H-Town to walk it back a second. What are the odds Paul has a tramp stamp that says... can I read that on the air? I don't think
that
so.
That says what? Read it.
I don't know what it says.
It's a garage. Yeah. It's a garage for something.
Okay. You know what? Good at it.
I can't do that.
I get the gist.
I appreciate you thinking so highly of me, though, that I would get that.
Very nice.
I do have a tramp stamp. It is a giant butterfly. Okay? It's great.
A lot of butterflies. A lot of roses in the streets as well. All right. The Astros play tonight, guys. They start their series with the Angels after a day off. Like we said, they are coasting until the All-Star break, to which we expect anywhere from 3 to 5 of them. We don't think Yordan will participate, but a group of Astros players are going to play in that All-Star game. So that should be fun. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
Still boycott it. There's still time.
Stacy's mom has got it going on.
Whoa.
What we know about the Zach Wilson follow-up. Plus, is this certain type of food unique? And it's one that a lot of you guys are passionate about. So stay tuned.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It was the hot rumor that Zach Wilson, legendary quarterback, I say that sarcastically, hooked up with one of his mother's friends, a true, you know, cheers to you, Mrs. Robinson, the graduate, American Pie type style.
He's been legendary for one day.
Yes.
Because of this. So I think it's officially legendary.
I would actually be interested, this is a real stat that I want, not a stat girl, but I would be interested to see if his jersey sales increased after yesterday. But there was...
Well, Jets fans are losers, so like this is for them like a Super Bowl.
This is a Super Bowl, and this is probably the first dose of hope that they've had in a long time to think that their quarterback has swagger. However, there's now a report and some investigative journalism that it didn't happen. Paul, I'm going to let you explain this because you did the deep dive into this.
Yes. So, okay. Zach Wilson's a young kid. It's very fun to believe the idea that Zach Wilson and one of Zach Wilson's mom's friends had themselves some good old-fashioned hanky-panky, right?
Stacy's mom has got it going on.
Everyone needs loving. And maybe he's into that. But we are basing this entire story off of his ex, who posted that the only hopping, in response to a comment that in alleged that she has been hopping onto one of...
Somebody called her a homie hopper.
Homie hopper. That
yes,
was the term.
Which is a term that means you hop homies, obviously.
Dax Milne is a wide receiver that Zach Wilson threw to, was roommates with, and Dax Milne is now dating Zach Wilson's ex.
Abby,
correct. Thank you. So Abby posts this. Well, the only, you know, homie hopping he's doing. Ask him about homie hopping. He's hanging out with his mom's friends.
He was sleeping with his mom's best friend. That's the real homie hopper, said Abby.
Right. And maybe she has the receipts on that. What I can say is that since then, she has deleted her Instagram, which I don't think women are about to do on a whim, you know? I feel like there's some real thought put into that. Dax Milne, for his part, turned off comments. Oh, okay. Well, Paul, where are you going with this? It really feels like you're just basing it off of the fact that these guys posted this and then all of a sudden they deleted it. Well, there is a picture of Zach Wilson spotted out at, I want to say, a Yankees game with what looks to be a rather attractive young lady.
You are really captivated by this woman.
May or may not be my type. I'm just saying. But anyway, this lady is sitting next to him at a game on June 15th. Between the Yankees and Tampa Bay Rays, the wave is going on, and they hold hands up together. They are clearly there together. There is no doubt about it. This girl has like 250,000 followers on TikTok. I think it's a lot more plausible that Zach Wilson is now dating a very attractive woman from the greater New York, New Jersey area than it is that Zach Wilson is hanging out while in New York City, where he is the starting quarterback of an NFL team in his early 20s, hanging out with one of Zach Wilson's mother's friends, who I would believe is probably living in Utah. Like, just think about the logistics of it.
Now, Your Honor, I don't know why I wanted to do Southern lawyer
do
here.
Southern. I like Southern Pollock. You can be Southern Pollock.
Your Honor, the initial accusation from his beleaguered ex-girlfriend was that he was sleeping with the... I can't keep doing this.
It's with okay. The, it's kind of Italian.
Your vocabulary is very hard to keep up. But he was sleeping with the mom's friend while they were dating. And so, so that maybe happened in college. It was a college.
It could have been.
He was really
out.
Feeling himself after that 2020 BYU season that we're all talking about. Still to this day,
everything changes when liquor gets involved, especially for Mormons that don't usually consume liquor, right? So if one there's a party,
that's racist.
Night there's a party, and one of his mother's friends is feeling a little frisky. She hasn't had alcohol in a long time. She just divorced her Mormon husband. She sees Zach Wilson.
Or maybe he's okay with it.
She decides to come. She decides to come on to him.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Reverse polygamy. Okay. Yeah. I guess it could happen. And if you're Zach Wilson, are you going to
your
say no?
Maybe it was a fling with this mom's friend.
Your whole argument is that he has a hot girlfriend now. But for a lot of men and women, variety is the spice of life.
Yeah. Zach Wilson can sleep with more than one woman.
Absolutely.
I get it, but. I'm just saying, if you're the star quarterback of the New York Jets,
variety is the
and you're
spice
living in New York,
of life.
Yes, you're right, Vanessa. You're not like everything that you said there.
He wants a cougar. He wants a college girl.
It could have happened, and she just found out about it. Mm-hmm. All of those things could be true. But the idea that it is happening right now, I'm sorry, I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone believed that he was dating his mom's friend. That they were
kind of
they're going
implied.
Out together.
She said they slept together.
I don't know. She said the real homie hopping is going on there.
Not dating. I don't think anybody thought it was dating.
Yeah,
I think most people just thought it was a little hookup.
She said sleeping with.
Yeah.
While they're dating.
Okay.
In college.
I think you guys are right.
While Dax, whatever, was scheming on him.
I think there will be more investigating into this, by the way.
I hope so.
I don't think this is over.
I do declare. I will tip my hat to your honor, Sean, and to your honor, A. How do you say? Is there a feminine version of honor? Honoree. My honoree to my bride. I do declare. You guys made a much better argument than me. All I was saying is that Mr. Zach Wilson is now living in New York City. He is a young 22-year-old man, and he is smacking that you-know-what with some young girl. Okay? There is no way.
Paul
no way.
He
is sticking to the moment.
I was going
to
say, the more we're talking about it, I buy Vanessa's. That this whole segment is just so you could creep on his current girlfriend.
I have no comment
you
on the matter.
You saw that video of his girlfriend and your eyes turned into a cartoon wolf.
He said a blonde Italian from New Jersey, she may or not may not be my type.
I went to Syracuse. What can I say?
Yeah.
We all have a type. We all have a type.
Speaking of type, is your favorite type of tacos a breakfast taco?
Oh, yeah. So,
God bless Dr. Jill Biden.
This is very topical and not political at all.
And do we have the sound, by the way? We do, right?
Oh,
we don't. Okay,
I figured it wouldn't be a good idea to play the sound because we'll go down such a rabbit hole.
We're not going to get super political on this, but she did, while at a conference in San Antonio, describe uniqueness and diversity as diverse as the bodegas, only she said it wrong, in the Bronx.
I think she said bodegas.
Bodegas in the Bronx. She said something else. And then she said, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio. Awkward laughter. Are breakfast tacos unique?
I asked
you
this last
question.
Night.
You had in our group text.
So I put a poll out last night. I don't think they're particularly unique, right? It's a taco with breakfast food. Are tacos unique at all? Haven't tacos kind of been appropriated from here and Mexico by, like, everyone? I think there once was a time where you could say that tacos are unique, and I would definitely say that I will never have a taco outside of Texas or outside of Mexico. I won't. I seriously won't. But I don't know that we can say that a breakfast taco is unique anymore.
She should have said as unique as a Doritos Locos taco from Taco Bell, because that is unique.
But you can get that at any part of the country. And I feel like she was trying to appeal to the Latin demographic.
What happened was it was a room full of white speechwriters that said, how can we make these folks understand that we're just like them? That the humans are all one race. And so they decided to go with saying a breakfast taco is unique. And by the way, she was talking about people. People are as unique as breakfast tacos in San Antonio. It was just awkward. Just awkward.
Like, I just don't think breakfast tacos are particularly unique.
What food is unique, though? Because even if you go, like, Indian food, it's like, well, a billion people eat that. They just don't eat it here. Well,
people
no food is unique.
Oh, I get what you're saying, Sean. People do a variant of this where it's the same materials on the inside, but on the West Coast, they're obsessed with burritos. They don't like to do tacos, which I think is ridiculous. It's 8 in the morning. You want to wrap up a burrito.
Yeah.
Burritos are unwieldy, too.
Burritos are aggressive for... You know what? Breakfast food is aggressive in general. Pancakes and French toast in the morning.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
It's a lot of carbs.
It's a lot of carbs.
You got to load up with carbs.
The problem is most people don't do anything that burns carbs, so they just eat take a nap at work.
But you have a taco in the morning, and you're putting I'm assuming that the one constant with a breakfast taco is eggs, right? Like, and then after that, that's where everything kind of varies up. You might put some chorizo in it. You might put which I would if I could have the perfect breakfast taco to me would feature. Eggs, chorizo, a ton of cilantro, a little sprinkling of lime in there as well. I'm probably going to try to get a little avocado in there, too.
Strong.
Millennial. But you can put sausage in there. You can put the potatoes in there. I mean, to me, I don't know that a breakfast taco is necessarily unique. Maybe every breakfast taco is unique, but... I don't know. Like Austin and San Antonio claim that they both invented it.
I just don't know why she went with breakfast taco.
Because San Antonio argues that they invented the breakfast taco.
Okay.
I think that was what she was going with there. But Austin also claims that they did. I don't believe Austin did, but I had never even heard about breakfast tacos from being like a San Antonio or Austin thing until yesterday. I figured they were a Houston thing. I don't know that it's necessarily like this very unique invention, a breakfast taco.
It's speech writers that literally Googled, what is San Antonio known for?
Food. San Antonio food.
Food, yeah.
Invented.
It'd be like if somebody went to Indianapolis and was like, and this weather is as hot as a St. Elmo shrimp cocktail sauce. Oh like,
yeah,
just,
I mean, the crowd would go wild.
That's not a good example.
There would
be no
writing.
Complaints.
Yeah.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, is it time for handshake lines to be a thing of the past? Plus, what do you think of cyclists? Paul gives us his unfiltered thoughts. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I'm sorry.
Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. You can watch me have a meltdown and a break because I'm jealous of somebody else's success.
Paul gets, so just to explain this, Paul gets, and he'll admit this, he gets triggered.
He gets so mad.
He gets irritated with other people's success.
Yes!
When they haven't earned it, which is a lot of people in sports media.
Let's be honest, though, it's everybody in
nepotism,
everything.
Nepotism, that's a little broad.
I think there's a lot of people that are probably arguing right now, like, Paul, you somehow have another sports talk radio job in Houston despite never doing well with any of them.
So the latest
points,
trigger
I would say,
point.
Yes, but at the same time, I could still be jealous, Vanessa, of seeing
a
this
hot blonde.
There's
who
this attractive blonde on ESPN,
segment.
And she's a gambling expert. And I'm like, wait a second. I feel like this person couldn't afford to go to Las Vegas.
Excellent. Go ahead, Sean.
I did some research. Okay. She actually graduated summa cum laude at Penn State University in 2018.
That's a safe. What? See?
Yeah, see, now Paul's really going to kill himself.
And that's not even a good school. Let's stop acting like that matters.
Hey, nothing against the 26, 27 range.
Summa cum laude. Oh, a part of a cult.
She made some parlays while she was at whatever state college, and now she gets to be on ESPN.
Anyone could tweet anything about gambling right now, and if you look hot, guess what? You're going to get a job talking about gambling, even if you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay, I'm bitter. I'm jealous.
It's okay.
Take the show back, Vanessa.
You
I'm
had
sorry.
To have your bitter moment of the day. A Little League coach is out of his job as a Little League coach after his poor sportsmanship was caught on camera. This video came courtesy of KHOU. His name is Kenneth Wendt, and he does not shake hands on camera after his 9-under Scorpions baseball team lost to Prospects Baseball on Saturday. The game was over, says KHOU, but the drama was just getting started. The two teams lined up to high-five, but Wendt, who is seen in the video, of course, wearing khakis, took it too far. He bumps into the first kids in line.
Hell yeah.
Instead of shaking their hands. He also, by the way, is a sergeant with the Harris County Precinct 5 Constable's Office, which is good to know somebody that mature is on the streets protecting us. But he was fired from his job as a Little League coach.
Listen, I think that this is absolutely terrible. I think that we're just continuing to put people away, to fire them for expressing their own beliefs. Okay? I thought this was America. I didn't know that you have to shake someone's hand and not try to chest slam a toddler at the end of a game. I feel like you want to teach them lessons about life, about how in a sport, it's a battle to the death. And if I lose, I will show my resistance until the very end of time.
Can I just say, I think handshakes are now need to be done. Honestly, they should have been done during COVID, but they're unnecessary. And you know what? They teach our kids the opposite of what's true. They teach our kids that you need to like people and be nice and all that after a competition. I'm not saying you need to be a jerk, but you don't need to slap everybody's hands. Sportsmanship, sportsmanship. I don't want to hear it.
The greatest coach.
Ban handshakes.
In kids' movie history, Vanessa, and I'm not totally disagreeing with you on the ban handshakes thing, but I think actually on a serious note that there is some value to, hey, if you lose to somebody else, to look them in the eye, shake their hand afterwards. If they're being jerks, that's another story. But my favorite person in the movie The Mighty Ducks wasn't Gordon Bombay, noted alcoholic booze bag who used Pee Wee hockey to hook up with Charlie Conway's mom. It's Jack Riley, the head coach of the Hawks, who's always telling his team, win, 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 win. It's not worth winning if you can't win big. Would Gordon Bombay have become a successful lawyer without the drive that Jack Riley instilled in him at a young age?
Haven't seen the movie.
I also got to say, just, you know, I get a kick out of these hard-o coaches.
Yeah.
What do you think goes through their head to make them feel like they're going
to
be...
Like they need to bump a 9-year-old?
I mean, I get it. Like, you know, 9-year-olds, that's the age where they all start to turn to you know what, right? Am I wrong?
Holy anger issues.
I've never had a kid, but like, isn't 9 years old where they start to be sarcastic?
I would guess that you shouldn't coach if you can't handle 9-year-olds beating your 9-year-olds.
Nah, just give them
the scorpions.
Just chest bump is the new handshake.
By the way,
put it in the dirt.
So there's a Tour de France, going on, and there was an incident. With a broken neck.
Yeah,
you talked about this and you brought this up.
Okay, so Vanessa,
walk us through this.
How many times have you seen somebody recording something for like an Instagram story?
A lot. It's the culture now.
It happens in concerts a lot too. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I'm in the upper level at the Justin Bieber concert. Look at this angle. You can't see anything. Everyone looks like ants, but people do it. So a person at the side of the Tour de France was recording as cyclists went by, and he wasn't paying enough attention. One of the cyclists rode directly into him.
God.
And the guy broke his neck.
The guy broke his neck or the cyclist?
The cyclist.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I wish that the guy on the Instagram story broke his neck. Now, he didn't break his neck and die. Get this. This guy, who I got to say is doing a lot for Italian athletics, because when I think of Italian soccer players, I just assume that they're going to flop. But this guy finished the leg of the Tour de France or whatever, the stage, with a broken neck after colliding with spectators. A fracture of the cervical vertebrae. So he has to leave the rest of the Tour de France. But he actually finished the stage. I got to say, I've always hated cyclists. I find like the critical mass people that like are riding around in mass downtown that'll like clog up traffic. I hate them. I generally feel like if anyone's a cyclist and you're wearing like the spandex, like you're actually on the Tour de France, what was it, like the Postal USA team, you look like an absolute hardo, and one of them almost ran over my dog once in St. Petersburg, so I've always been a little bit annoyed with them, but I have a newfound respect for a cyclist. If a guy breaks his neck and is able to finish one leg of the Tour de France, maybe there is some hope for cyclists yet.
I like to admit that cyclists are definitely athletes. The endurance you have to do that is unbelievable, and it makes for some entertaining TV when they're up against the wall. But I personally can't stand cyclists when they, A, are on the roadway. Get over in a bike lane. And if there isn't a bike lane,
there aren't a lot
you
of them
shouldn't
here.
Be on the road. You shouldn't. I'm sorry. The other thing.
I'm too nervous.
Hold on,
to be on
one
the
more
road.
Thing. When cyclists have earpieces in, or excuse me, have headphones in, you need to know what's going on around you if you're on the road. And if you don't know what's going on around you, it's unsafe. But then cyclists tend to have a victim complex and say, well, everybody should, we're on the road too. We're just as much. No, you're not. You're not in a freaking car. Take your headphones out. Get in the bike lane. That's why we have bike lanes. And honestly, there's really no reason why you need to be on the road.
I'm with you. There aren't a lot of bike lanes here in Houston, which is unfortunate for cyclists. So I do empathize to a degree. But as you said, there's an entitlement that comes with a lot of cyclists.
Entitlement is the perfect word.
It's a tad annoying because I think for the most part, cyclists are much more likely to disobey basic stop signs, to disobey a traffic light if they don't see somebody coming. Okay, you don't want to, you know, stop your pump or whatever, but there is something about cyclists that has always rubbed me the wrong way. And I feel like cyclists and marathoners go out of their way to try to show to you that, yeah, I'm just as good as a real athlete. And there's a tone that they carry themselves
with. They inconvenience others to try to start an argument, mm-hmm. right? Like, you don't need to put your bike in the middle of the road.
No.
You choose to do that because you want people then to argue with you. It's very obnoxious.
I think part of them, they do it because, look, like, let's be honest, Houston roads aren't great, and the sidewalks are even worse. So I can understand why you are riding in the lane.
I guess it depends on what city you're in, though, because some cities have plenty of bike accessibility.
But you're right. Houston does not, though. Houston is bad, and there's actually, like, been some data where some cyclists have gotten hit by cars and stuff. And that's obviously something you don't want to have happen. And, of course, there's a ton of road rage here, so that's not good either. So I'm not saying, hey, I'm not endorsing road rage against cyclists. All I'm saying is that if you are a cyclist, don't be a jerk on the road. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no road rage against anybody, not pedestrians, not cyclists, but also don't start things just to start things.
And I have a little more respect for cyclists after this guy completed a leg of the Tour de France with a broken
neck. That's no joke.
That's gotta
hurt.
And
he has to be immobile for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
This story had to have been put out by Big Cycling somewhere because tennis needs to have an issue like this. Golf needs to have someone like win a tournament with a broken neck. Like, we need more of these tough guys in these traditionally sports that you don't traditionally associate with toughness to get hardos like all district safety
right.
Paul Gallant mm-hmm. off their back. They
Absolutely.
Heard the rant that he went on about tennis earlier. Was it this week or last week?
I doubled
down. And they're like, we will, if we win over anyone, we'll win over Paul Gallant by having this guy break his neck.
So in terms of sports that annoy me right now, tennis at the top.
Tennis
oh, number
is number
one on the
one.
Power rankings?
Tennis at the top.
What's
two? Because one of my friends is like, hey, you probably wouldn't be good at tennis. Yes, I wouldn't, but I also don't want to play for 4 hours. I don't want to watch it for 4 hours. How is it still going on Sunday? Like, what is this, the NBA playoffs? Good God. I like when I boarded my plane to Boston like 3 weeks ago, it said it's the first round of 78 for the Wimbledon Grand Tour, whatever the hell it is. Anyway,
Paul's
Vanessa's
got
like,
his hate list.
Vanessa's like,
coming
Jesus.
Up on Vanessa and Gallant, does Paul hate the LIV Golf Tour or PGA? We're talking a little LIV versus PGA. That's coming up next.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Paul's upset because we've informed him that he kind of looks like a cyclist or a runner.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's bullying me right now. Someone on Twitch says you look like a vegan.
Oh, that's too far.
I had bacon this morning. I have bacon every morning.
Really?
Yeah.
See, you're a breakfast guy. I'm not a breakfast
girl. Oh, yeah.
Girl.
I go big time with the breakfast.
We know Dr.
Half an apple.
Joe Biden likes breakfast tacos.
Yeah, they're unique.
Just
like Hispanic voters.
The PGA versus the LIV controversy continues. The U.S. Department of Justice has opened an investigation into the PGA Tour's handling of its players and whether it has engaged in anti-competitive behavior during its ongoing battle with LIV. This is, of course, per ESPN. So, guys, it continues. I'm not going to lie. I actually thought that the beef would be done by now. I thought that guys would decide, I'm playing here, I'm playing here. But we've seen Rory McIlroy walk back comments. Do you remember how at first he was all against the LIV tour, and now he said, you know what? It's getting big enough to where we need to have a discussion.
It's very funny to see the bootlicker who, of course, you know, being from Northern Ireland, very used to licking that English boot, is licking the PGA boot. Once again, I feel this is great. Now, I'm not acting like I'm rooting for the LIV Golf Tour to succeed. I just think that the PGA Tour has carried itself in such a condescending manner. And, I mean, they are poaching people from you left and right. And now on top of that, the Department of Justice is going to look into you because of basically acting like a monopoly. You can't suspend people from some of these tournaments that you are suspending people from. You can't.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if that the Department of Justice does, like, the PGA gets popped in this, but the Saudi-backed LIV Golf Tournament, just no sanctions. They're fine.
Born, you know,
the
USA,
business
baby.
Practices of the PGA is a little shady. LIV, all on the up and
well,
up.
Well, you know what, though? The mistake that PGA made, though, was not only suspending them, but saying that this was going to be an ongoing thing. Because that's basically a threat. Like, they didn't just say you're going to be suspended this year. If you remember, the head of the PGA said there will be implications to come. Tiger Woods, the man that's known for his high morals, by the way, said, "I disagree with it," talking about the LIV Golf Tour. "I think that what they've done is they've turned their back on what has allowed them to get to this position," of talking, of course, about Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. I mean, look, all three of those guys received deals worth more than $100 million. So money talks, and Tiger's made a lot of money. He's also made, he's one of the greatest athletes ever. He's also made some questionable decisions. Don't know if he should talk about decision making.
He definitely shouldn't. And I mean, look, they're getting desperate. You turn to Tiger Woods to put out a public statement when you feel like you're on the ropes. And I mean, PGA does feel like they are on the ropes right now. I don't think that they thought that this would turn into the situation it has turned into. And the smear tactics haven't worked. So now what happens when the government is coming after you and people are sort of scoffing at a quote put out by Tiger Woods? I feel like there's no solution for the PGA that sees them winning here.
I think they're
going to have to let some of these golfers participate in the majors and participate in the LIV Golf Tour.
Especially when you talk about young guys like Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson and all of that. That's your current generation. I mean, Tiger Woods, at some point, I know he's the Tom Brady of golf. At some point, he will retire. And you need these younger guys to still hop on board. All right, it is time for our world-famous segment we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, there was a Waffle House incident over the weekend where somebody tried to fight a Waffle House employee. It's hard to describe. I suggest you look at the video over Twitter. But the Waffle House employee jumps over the counter, like WWE style, and just pummels this customer.
I love Waffle House with a passion. First off, I feel like the food that they have there is pretty damn good. I used to go there after every single football game I played in high school. We would go afterwards.
All district.
I would.
Safety.
Thank
All
you.
State.
Thank you. I didn't say it. I would get a hamburger. I would get a waffle, and I would get a vanilla Coke.
You would get a hamburger at Waffle House?
Mm-hmm.
Do they serve those?
Oh, yeah, they serve everything.
Yeah,
there.
They serve everything. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it's a 24-hour diner, essentially.
No, I know it's 24. I didn't know that it was they had hamburgers.
But they serve everything, and their waffles, I think, are delicious, but because there's something like a little sweet that they put in them. They're very tasty. But the people that will come into a Waffle House are sometimes questionable in nature. To put it politely.
I mean, they're hammered.
A good
percentage. When you're a 24-hour diner with great food and great breakfast
and it's very
food,
cheap.
Very cheap. People are going to come into your place of business inebriated.
You got to be ready to throw down. And by the way, Waffle House managers are actually very well compensated. Like, you're making six figures if you're like...
No.
It's I'm assuming with inflation right now, because I remember a couple of years ago,
really?
I read a story. It was like $80,000 a year
to be
a Waffle
House manager?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well.
You're working long hours.
Yeah. Are you bitter about that?
No, not at all. Oh. I love Waffle House. The people of Waffle House are great. And again, you got to be kind of ready, like at any moment. I went to high school in Florida, and imagine being at a Florida Waffle House, and it's 3 a.m. What do you think is going to happen? Anything. Someone could come in with an alligator and throw it at a small child. That's how it goes.
And the best part about Waffle House is that like I said, a lot of the patrons are drunk and rowdy and ready to fight, but no one is more ready to fight than anyone behind behind the desk or, you know, on the grill. Where the, I don't know where the, if they hire at MMA gyms or something, but all these guys are just looking for a fight.
They're just suplexing people. I can understand why. Here's my question. This has to do with it. Waffle House is a store that if you're a Karen or a Ken and you're going up to the manager, that's probably like not the best idea to start trying to get physical with the person. But where do you feel like you would be able to get away with being an absolute Karen or Ken the most? My answer is Starbucks. I feel like you could walk all over a barista.
Yeah, I my gut would say Chick-fil-A, but then I think they're passive-aggressive enough to where they would make you feel guilty, but they probably have like an anti-violence policy, right?
I think you're right. I think Chick-fil-A. Yeah, wait, my pleasure.
Are we saying like physically I can handle the staff there
both.
Be like, I ordered a large.
Both.
This isn't a large.
Well,
yeah, Chick-fil-A probably the mental. Yeah. There are a lot of strong Christian men that work at Chick-fil-A. Yeah. There's not
they're
a lot
like,
of strong people
like
that work at
Starbucks. They are all kids, yeah, that's
but
true.
Starbucks is mostly like, I'm sorry, but like kids with teal hair that don't believe in violence.
I feel like they would be very likely to pull out the phone on you, though, and say, like, you're violating my safe space.
Right. It's safe space. Do we have the sound from the news anchor?
Oh,
yes, we do.
Boy.
Okay, let's play that. There's growing concern over a news anchor of a local evening newscast out of Albany. Here she is.
Really lucky you're in the capital region. I mean, let me tell you about that. These areas are reaching such areas. I mean, it's Houston, Austin, San Antonio. I mean, they're not expected. It has happened. Like, you don't need us telling you that it's bad. It's like people are being told to like stay inside, drink a lot of water. And we are just lucky. This weekend right here is so amazing. Meteorologist Craig Adams is right here. Craig Adams. Why did I say that? Of course, clearly, like here, we're taking a live look over downtown Albany. And of course, just like me, meteorologist Craig Gold is working a double shift. And so he's in. And we've been tracking this. And, you know, we've been talking about just like what it's been like across the
good.
Country and the different
So she got the meteorologist's name wrong. Her name is Heather Kovar,
yeah.
CBS 6 in Albany. She issued a statement or talked to the TimesUnion.com saying that she was sleep disoriented. Sleep deprivation and exhaustion caused the newscast where she slurred her words, could barely open her eyes, and called the meteorologist the wrong name.
Do you
buy it?
The shifts that she posted that she was working, I can buy her being tired, but I think she was having a little extra fun on the weekends.
I was
going to
say, she might have been sleep deprived. But what else?
Yeah.
Like, there's something else going on.
I think she put a little splishy splash in her Yeti she went into work.
Since I worked in local news, can attest to being sleep, like literally sleep deprived, where you work and you do the 11 o'clock show one night and then there's breaking news and you have to be back at 6 a.m. It's brutal. I will say I have never heard it cause this.
Have you been in a couple of different, you've been in a couple of different markets?
Yeah.
Was there ever anyone that you could tell was like just
absolutely
loaded on the air? Yeah.
I came in very.
I bet it was Cincinnati.
No question. I personally came in. I had gotten the second half of Reds opening day off, and Reds opening day is lit in Cincinnati. And then I had to work the next morning. I was not still drunk, but I think my coworkers could smell the probably lack of shower and the alcohol.
Oh,
that
that's fine. Just playing through the pain.
That's another day on Vanessa and Gallant where we expose all of our secrets as well as all of our insecurities involving blondes on ESPN with Paul.
Yeah,
but we'll be back at it tomorrow. Coming up next, you have Joel Blank, you have Jeremy Brain, and the Killer Bees from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97, 95, and 90. Paul wants to kill himself. It's fine. We'll talk about it tomorrow. That's Killer Bees next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.